All right, 2 Timothy. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2 is where we're going to be this morning. And you see a lot taking place. 1 and 2 Timothy is a challenging book. It's an encouraging book. 2 Timothy chapter 2, you often know, it's Paul talking to Timothy here, addressing the many preachers, addressing his preacher himself, and talking to Timothy here. I pray this will be an encouragement to all of us, though. We've just come through our revival meeting, and a wonderful time listening to the Word of God every single night, thinking about the special music, thinking about all the many blessings. You were here Sunday morning that you know you were encouraged as we thought about the 17 years of God's blessings on this church. You were able to watch a video and see how God had blessed for 16 years and what He was able to do, the many people that were saved, the many people that had an influence on lives, and then you look back and you just listen to those songs that were being played. And aren't you thankful for your Lord and Savior this morning? I'm thinking about this portion of Scripture, and I'm thinking about the songs we've been able to sing already. And I'm thankful for grace. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says this: "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to reach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruits." Verse 7, the Bible says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." I want you to notice what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I was reflecting on the past week and the many things that were said, the many messages that were preached. If you were here on Sunday morning, you were able to hear a message that was basically preached on just continuing. Continuing to do what you've been doing. Continuing the work of the Lord. On Sunday evening, Brother Brown preached a message on the wagons of revival. And you think about those many wagons, and you think about the Father, you think about all that God has done in your life. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, he preached messages. One message he preached a message on what to do when you're discouraged, or what to do when you're down, just finding the strength to continue going. One night he preached and he asked the question, an interesting question. He asked the question, "Are you sure you want to go to heaven?" And you sit back and you listen to some of the messages that were preached, and you are reflecting. If you're like myself, I was stirred up. I was excited. I was reflecting on my salvation. I was thinking about all that God has put in my heart and my life to do. But something that came to my mind as I was reflecting on some of these things is that I need the strength to do these things. I need the grace of God in my life to continue doing what He's called me to do. And I believe that's true of every single one of our lives. If it was not for grace, you think about some of the things that you've done. You think about where you were at one point, but the grace of God. And we're going to look at some of this. And the Word of God, we're going to cross over to 1 Timothy some. We're going to cross over to a couple different portions of Scripture. We think about the grace of God this morning. And asking the Lord to just continue to be with us and help us in all areas of our lives. Look with me one more time in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says this: "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Lord, we thank You for this morning. Lord, we thank You for the time that we've had already. Lord, we thank You for the fellowship. We thank You for the Sunday school hour. We thank You for the many workers in our church, Lord, who are just striving to be used of God. Lord, I pray that You would help us and guide us in all these things. Lord, as we find ourselves in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Lord, we're considering and thinking about grace. And Lord, I pray that You would help us. Lord, that You would prepare our hearts right this very moment. Lord, I pray that You would be in myself as I preach, that You would empty me of self, empty me of sin. Lord, and fill me with the Spirit. Lord, I pray that I would not preach anything or say anything that would not be what You would have for me to say. Lord, I pray that if there is something that is hindering any single one of us to pay attention to the Word of God as it is preached, Lord, that You would take that thought, that hindrance from our mind for just a little while. Lord, I pray that You would continue to have Your hand upon this church. Lord, I pray that You would bless this church. Lord, that You would continue to give us opportunities to share the gospel. Lord, I pray that You would have Your hand upon the families. Lord, that You would have Your hand of provision, Lord, on every single one of our lives. Lord, I pray that You would keep evil from us and keep evil from this church. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen us, guide us right now. Prepare our hearts for what You might have for us, Lord, and we'll thank You for it. In the Lord's name, amen. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. As you think about the many areas of our lives, you think about the grace that you need. We're going to look at three areas in our lives and three, I guess you could say, be strong in the grace because of three areas. And we're going to look at these things in the Word of God. Look with me one more time at verse 1 of chapter 2. 2 Timothy, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible helps us understand that we need to be strong in the grace of God. Being strong in the grace of God. You consider the many things that you have going on. I was looking up the word grace, and grace has been defined many times, but as I was reading it, this is what a preacher had said, grace defined, and it stuck with me. Grace has been defined as the inner working of the Holy Spirit whereby strength is given from on high. Maybe you've been in messages or in church services and the preacher said while he was praying before he preached, Lord, give me a power from on high. Lord, help me to preach a message from on high. And you're asking and you're looking and you're thinking about that grace that you need. Many times when you think about the grace of God in our lives, if it were not for grace in a lot of areas of my life, I would not be where I am today. You think about grace in your life, you think about the many situations you've gotten yourself into and the grace of God in your life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We need to be strong in the grace of God for a couple of areas. We need to be strong in this grace because we need grace to serve. We need grace to serve. When I walk through this church and I'm just walking through sometimes, or when I enter the door of Gateway Baptist Church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or on a Wednesday, I'm walking through and I need the grace of God in my life as I preach. When I knock on doors and I'm sharing the gospel with people, I need the grace of God in my life as I serve Him by knocking on doors. When I'm going through, and sometimes I remember working different types of jobs when I was in college or whenever I was growing up, I needed the grace of God while I served Him because sometimes it was a hard time to have your testimony. Sometimes things were said to you or people and did something that it was hard to have your testimony. You needed the grace of God in those situations. Only the grace of God enables us to serve Him. And it's only by the grace of God that we have the opportunity to serve Him. In every single one of our lives, in every single area of our life, be thankful for the grace of God in your life. I remember listening to a message, I think I've shared this before, but I was listening to a message one time, sitting in a church service, and the preacher was preaching, and he brought someone up, and he had someone stand right here. And he started sharing his testimony. He said, this is where I was. He said, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior right here. He said, the Lord began working in my life. And I got myself into a situation right here, but he said, by the grace of God, I got through. He said, he kept continuing sharing his testimony. He said, and then I got right here, and there was a tough situation. I was serving the Lord, doing what He would have for me, but by the grace of God, I got through. And he kept going on and on and on. And if you were to think about the many areas of your life this morning, and the areas that you're able to serve, by the grace of God, you're able to serve. So be thankful for that grace, the grace to serve, serving. Think about service. Sometimes people don't like that word, serving. But serving the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the greatest blessings anyone can give. When you think about going out and knocking on doors, when you think about leading someone to Christ, when you think about, I was reflecting a couple of days ago on when Pastor Dalton broke out his little Bible and was sharing the many names in which he's led people to the Lord. In one of my Bibles in my office, I have some of the names written down, and I was going through and looking at some of those names and reflecting on the many people. I remember leading a man after a youth rally to the Lord. Me and my two brother-in-laws were heading to the gas station. We were just going to pick up some milk or something, and we stopped in, and the Holy Spirit was working in our lives to tell us to, hey, go share the gospel with that young man. And we went in and was talking to us. You wouldn't imagine the many distractions that the devil sent that about 10, 15 minutes. Just many people walking in, things breaking down, people needing help, all those things. But he waited around and he got saved. I was thinking about his name after I had read his name, and I saw him the other day at Lowe's. And I'm thankful to see some of these people. I stopped and I said, "Hey, how's everything going?" He said, "Hey, man, everything's good. We moved towns, but me and my girlfriend found a good church." I said, "Praise the Lord. I'm glad you did." But by the grace of God, we were able to share the gospel with that young man. Grace in serving the Lord. How about this? Grace in suffering. Look with me in verse 2. The Bible says this. We'll back up to verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He makes that statement. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now listen, I understand that he is sharing these things to a preacher. But all of these things that we understand in the Word of God, this is not just applicable to preachers. This is applicable to all Christians. Verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Grace and suffering. Some people ask the question sometimes, why would you serve if you're going to be miserable? Why would you serve? You know, you hear about missionaries who are going over to dark areas of the world and being missionaries in dark areas. You think about the many missionaries that have gone in the past, and some of them have died where they were being a missionary at. And you ask the question, why would you do something like that? Because the will of God, whether it may look dangerous on the outside, the perfect will of God is anywhere He calls us to be, whether it looks dangerous or not. And you just have a certain peace about serving Him. You understand that in those times of suffering, there's joy. In those times of suffering, there's happiness. In those times of suffering, there's peace. And a peace that the world won't understand. When you find yourself serving the Lord Jesus Christ and you find yourself being ridiculed every once in a while, there's just a peace about it. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering for Jesus Christ. Now, you're not suffering. You're not suffering. Many times you look at this verse right here, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You think about the things that you go through, being ridiculed as a Christian. I was sharing this in our Sunday school hour. I got tagged in a post, I think it was yesterday on Facebook. And the post was tagged that said, "Comment someone's name who has helped you in 2017. And I said, okay, I didn't comment. I guess I could have said my wife. I didn't comment though. But I was just reading some of the comments. Some people said the Lord, some people said family members, some people said friends. But there were a couple people who, and this is sad that you even have this being said, but one person, I read it, it said, "I'm thankful for the devil because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have these lunatic Christians knocking on my door all the time." And I read that and I said, it's sad. But I clicked on the comments and started reading some of the comments, and people were sharing the gospel with this person. They said, "Listen, this isn't a joke. You need to get this settled. Listen, I know that people may be knocking on your door, but salvation is real. You can get saved. You don't have to go to hell." And the person was just mocking the people. And you say, that's sad. It is sad. But something we have to understand is that there are people that are lost and dying and going to hell. And we need to continue sharing the gospel. We see that we need to be strong in the grace of God. You think about the many areas of all of our lives. You think about the people that go through difficulties. You think about maybe yourself going through something right now. Let me ask this question. Aren't you thankful for when God shows up? How many of you have been in a situation where you just didn't know what was going to take place and then God showed up? You think about the many testimonies of people who were going through a battle of maybe cancer, or people that were going through something that only doctors could help them with, and the doctors came to you and said, "Hey, there's nothing we can do," but then God showed up. Hey, how about the many marriages that have been affected by the devil getting into the homes and trying to ruin a marriage, and then God showed up? How about the many people who have gone through and they've been living a wicked life, and they said, "The Lord can't use me. The Lord can't do anything with me," and then God showed up. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God in all of our lives? You think about the many areas of every single one of our lives and the things that we're able to do every single thing, every single day. It's only by the grace of God. I love this quote. Think about this quote. I was reading this quote the other day. Let me find it here real quick. John Newton. John Newton said this. He says, "I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am." When you reflect on the grace of God and you think about the many areas of all of our lives, you can be thankful for that grace when you're able to serve Him. You can be thankful for that grace when times of suffering come in. Maybe you're going through a difficulty or you're going through a trial. Maybe something has arisen and you're saying, Lord, there's just no way out. Lord, and then He shows up. Shows a little bit of grace. Turn with me to the book of Titus. The book of Titus. Chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the Bible say this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Listen, we're living in a world today where Christians have misinterpreted grace and just take it as though you can live however you want to live. We're living in a world where people say, well, listen, I can sin and ask for forgiveness later. We're living in a world where even churches are doing things they should not ought to do. But I'm thankful for grace and sanctification. I'm thankful for the sanctified work that the Lord is doing in all of our lives. I'm thankful that whenever I'm convicted of something, that I can stand there and I can say, Lord, thank you for convicting me of doing that. I'm thankful for those opportunities when God shows up in my life and says, hey, you need to be doing this and not doing this. We're spending some time in the book of Daniel. Go with me real quick to the book of Daniel. I want you to notice this. We were spending some time, we've just started in our Sunday school hours, studying the book of Daniel. And there's much to be studied in the book of Daniel. You can spend weeks upon certain verses and portions of Scripture in the book of Daniel. But look with me real quick in verses 4 on down. The Bible says this. Let's go to verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and in understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Verse 6, the Bible says, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael of Meshach, and unto Azariah of Abednego. And notice what the Bible says in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now notice the Bible says in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Verse 9, the Bible says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my Lord. He goes on to say that he could get in trouble. Now look with me in verse 15, what the Bible takes place and says. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fair and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and wine that they should drink, and they gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the 10 days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. You think about what's being said here. Daniel was saying, in a nutshell, that it's never been right to do wrong. He says in verse 8 here, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And so he makes a decision that, listen, though I could do this, though I could take part in this meat, I'm not going to defile myself because God doesn't want me to do that. And so he said, because the Lord says no, I'm going to say no. But later on in this portion of Scripture, in chapter 1 of the book of Daniel, the Bible says they were found 10 times better. There was none like them. In the world in which we live in, you think about sanctification, you think about Christians, you think about the many people that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes you're looked at a little funny, but that's okay. I'd rather fit in with a group of Christians than fit into the world. I'd rather the Lord be pleased with the way I live than be popular to the world. I'd rather people look at me in the world and say, you're a little different, and me be able to say, well, it is what it is. You know, praise the Lord for it. I don't understand this phrase. Maybe someone can explain it to me. I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry, whatever they say. What's that mean? Sorry, not, you're not sorry. Don't say you're sorry. But when people look at you and say, you're a little funny, you know, they don't say that, but if people look at you and you can just kind of tell that, you know, certain Christians, they say, you just live a little different. You kind of want to look at them and say, sorry, not sorry. You know, I don't know what it means, but sorry. You know, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to do what He's called me to do. I'm not ashamed because I pray His sanctifying work in my life continues. I pray He convicts me every single day of how to become more holy for Him, how to live a righteous Christian life. And I'm thankful for the grace of God in my life. But we need to be strong in the grace of God. But look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We need to be strong for the gospel of God. Listen. Look with me in verse 2. The Bible says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You think about John 3:16. You think about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many churches today who are sharing a works-based salvation. There is no such thing. There's no such thing as a works-based salvation. It becomes a job after you say there's works. If you have to maintain a salvation, then it's no longer free, but you're maintaining a work. You're going to a job twice. Not only to make money, but to try to get yourself to heaven. There's no such thing. And so you think about these words that are being said, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You think about 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. I've heard many times that a church is defined by what they believe about Jesus Christ. I've heard that many times. And this question I've asked myself, what do we as Gateway Baptist Church believe about Jesus Christ? And we could spend much time talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He means and all that He's done for us. But very simply, when you think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, be strong sharing that gospel. Listen, it may offend somebody, but the truth often does. Many times I remember hearing things that I didn't want to hear, but I'm thankful that I heard. And the gospel is one of those things. I'm thankful that preachers were preaching that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior. I'm thankful that people were not pointing at me, but it seemed as though the preacher was preaching right at me saying how dirty and rotten I was. And now, I'm thankful for the salvation that I have in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that opportunity that I have every single day to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, knocking on doors and sharing with people. And it's something that we have to thank the Lord for. Be strong in that. Be strong in the grace of God. Be strong in all that the Lord has for you. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look with me what the Bible says here. All Scripture is given. In verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Look with me at what the Bible says in verse 16 at the very beginning. All Scripture. It's not some Scripture. It's not little portions of Scripture. It's not this verse and this verse only. It says all Scripture. And so one thing that we have to be confident in, we have to be strong in, is that we teach and preach all Scripture. We don't pick and choose what we think the Lord might use, but we ask the Lord, Lord, help us, guide us, direct us in these things, and teach and preach all of the Bible. And so in verse 2 of chapter 2, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. He's saying, continue doing these things. Be strong in them. And then finally, go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, you see some things that are taking place, and I pray that you'll be encouraged by the grace of God in all of our lives, but you think about what the Lord has for every single one of us and the grace that we need. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Paul is reminding Timothy of a specific truth here. And in verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Something we have to be strong in is the gift of God. Listen, some of you have been given a gift to sing. Some of you have been given a gift to just teach. You know, use that gift for the Lord. You think about the gifts that the Lord's given you. You think about the many areas of your life. Some of you can play an instrument. Use it for God. You know, all those things. The first thing we think about when you're considering these gifts are to minister to people. Use it. I know many people that use their ministries, you would say, their gifts that they have as a tool whenever they're at churches, or as a tool when they're on the mission field, to be a help to people. Some of you have, you're very good with your hands. Use it to minister to people. And then turn with me to Joshua, the book of Joshua. We'll be finished here in just a minute. You think about the book of Joshua, you think about Joshua himself. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, even unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Something that we understand about Joshua is the ability to lead. You're going to be looked at funny sometimes. But in the world that we live in, we need more Christians leading by example. Living a holy life. Making statements such as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Making statements that you're saying with your life as a whole, you're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that you do might not be approved by man, but if it's approved by God, that's all that matters. When you think about pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ, He's pleased when we set a holy, righteous example for others. And you say, "I just don't know if it's going to make a difference." Over the time, it will make a difference. I saw a couple of days ago where a preacher had been praying for a specific person for over, I think it said, 25 years. That person ended up just recently getting saved. The preacher went to that person and asked the question. He said, when did it finally click? He made the statement. He said, "It's not that it never clicked." He said, "Your life was just an example. And seeing how happy you were, and always, even in the hard times, saying you had the joy of the Lord and that the Lord would bring you through it." He said, "It just didn't make sense to me until it finally did." And the man ended up getting saved. And you think about your life, if you live a consistent, righteous, and holy life, and you say, "I just don't know if it's going to make a difference." It will. It'll make a difference. I'm encouraged. I remember hearing a testimony, or not testimony, my stepfather used to have opportunity to preach, or teach, or whatever, I guess, on the military base. And it was something that he couldn't require of the people that were coming. But he said that it was available. And I just remember hearing testimonies of how the Lord used that ministry. And my brother-in-law's actually just were talking to me the other day, and they're going to be able to get into that ministry. And you think about the many areas of your life and what the Lord has for you. Number one, be thankful for the grace of God in your life. Be thankful for salvation. Be thankful for the opportunities that we all have to serve Him. And every single time that you are serving Him, be thankful that you're able to serve. And ask the Lord to use you. Be thankful and be strong in these gifts that God's given you. Be strong in the many areas of your life. Be strong for the gospel's sake. Don't water down the gospel. Don't be afraid to hurt someone's feelings because you're preaching or teaching the gospel to them. You're trying to help them to understand the gospel. Listen, if you water the gospel down or you offend them, listen, the gospel should offend them. They need the gospel to offend them. They need to understand that they're sinners that need to be saved. They need to understand that they have to do something about it. You hear people, and I still, the image in my mind is we're knocking on doors a couple months back is the lady saying, listen, I know that we'll be in different places when we die. That still haunts my mind. I can't imagine people just being okay with going and spending an eternity in hell. And so, when you think about that every single day, be strong in preaching the gospel. Don't be afraid to offend someone. You're gonna hurt them more if you don't preach the gospel than you would if you offended them. And so, preach the gospel. Be strong in it. Pray that the Lord continues to get a hold of your heart. But in all things, when you think about your life and you're saying, Lord, I just need your help, be strong. He'll give you the grace to continue. He'll give you the strength to continue. He'll give you all that you need to continue serving Him and doing what He asks.